Welcome to Citizens Climate Radio. In this show, we highlight people's stories, we celebrate your successes, and together we share strategies for talking about climate change. I'm your host, Peter Santoscano. Welcome to episode 23 of Citizens Climate Radio, a project of Citizens Climate Education. This episode is airing on Saturday, April 26, 2018. In the Art House today, you will experience the beautiful and strange sounds of the Arctic. Sculptor and musician Fritz Horstmann traveled north with a group of other artists to witness the rapid changes happening there. He created Ice Voices, an audio-visual piece that recreates the sounds of the Arctic with human voices. Last month's Puzzler asked about geoengineering. Your friend Samantha assumes we should just wait for a technical fix to our climate crisis. How do you respond when someone tells you geoengineering will end all of our climate woes? But first, I speak with two doctors about climate change and how it's affecting our mental health. In addition to the emotional stresses during more frequent and severe storms and heat waves, how does our own work as climate advocates affect our mental health? And what can we do to protect and care for ourselves so we don't get burnt out? Meet Dr. Lisa Van Susteren. An American psychiatrist with a practice in Washington, D.C., Dr. Van Susteren is a leading expert in looking at the psychological effects of climate change. It's actually a wonder I even got to speak with her, as Dr. Van Susteren is in high demand these days. Dr. Van Susteren speaks out a lot about climate change, and like many climate advocates, she has discovered she has a weird superpower.
I can pretty much clear the room in a few seconds if I'm not careful. I can shut down a dinner party conversation. I never had such power before to turn something off. So I have to be very careful, and I have to kind of calibrate what I say.
Sound familiar? Dr. Van Susteren has discovered effective techniques to keep the conversation going and to engage the listener.
And one of the things that I do in speaking to people is I pretty much suggest that I believe that they already understand that climate change is a horrific, catastrophic force in our lives now, and it will be getting even worse. So that I kind of use as stipulated, and it's a way of kind of being persuasive, because when I take them as a partner and an equal, then they tend to be more responsive. So that's the key sort of number one step.
Once she has someone's attention, Dr. Van Susteren reveals her passion and her concern about climate change.
I then tell them of all of the physical impacts of climate change, as deadly and horrific as they are, it is really the psychological underpinning that I fear the most. People often ask me this question, how can a psychiatrist be involved in climate change? We are almost uniquely called for this. It's what we do every day. We talk to people about things they don't want to talk about that are uncomfortable, and we break down their resistance, calibrated to where they are, so that they can look at the behaviors that might represent anxieties or conflicts or other things that are detrimental to their health and certainly to the health of the people around them and their communities and will have repercussions down the road. Well, that's the essence of what warning people about climate change is. It doesn't take anything except a sentient human being with a sense of empathy to recognize that when your house has been burned down or the place where you live has been destroyed, blown away, or flooded, and you've lost your possessions, maybe your pets, certainly your community, and the sense of well-being or the belief that you are in a secure, safe world, think about what that does to us emotionally. You know, we're not just a series of mechanical reactions, but yes, we are seeing post-traumatic stress disorder, we're seeing generalized anxiety, we're seeing depression, we're seeing a rise in alcohol and drug addiction to try to use to try to cope with the problem. We're seeing domestic violence, and people are busy writing all this down in some places after Katrina. And this is all well and good because we need these numbers. But all it really takes is a little bit of compassion and empathy to recognize that when people are being given a world that is no longer livable or is barely livable or now has so much adversity, so many challenges, that it is so difficult that, of course, they are going to have an emotional, there's going to be psychological harm and an emotional toll. It doesn't take a study to understand what that will feel like.
Like many people concerned about climate change, Dr. Van Susteren has strong feelings about what is happening right now. She also has suggestions about how to manage those emotions.
Sometimes I am so angry and in such, I'm going to say the word despair, and that bouncing between those emotions, and then on the other side of the spectrum is the sense that we can hear the world waking up. We know the engine has turned on, where the machine is perhaps not moving as quickly. We know it's not moving as quickly as we need it to be, and there's so much adversity. But we can feel the sense of hope that people are beginning to wake up. But when I'm angry and when I'm in despair, there are a certain number of things that I do. And one is that I really have to knock it into my head that we're not alone. And that's why I think of everyone together, listening here, working together as a source of to offset that anger. I also know from neuroscience that when we get away from what we call the me definer, the sense of self, and we start working with others, that that part of being involved in something bigger gives us a sense almost of awe that brings the sense of purpose and meaning and gives us the energy to go forward.
As a climate advocate, no doubt, you live with a lot of anxiety about our uncertain future. While the general public appears unwilling to engage in serious conversations about climate change, under the surface, there may be a growing well of anxiety.
Anxiety often is the result of knowing something in your heart that you don't yet know in your mind. I don't believe for one second that on some level, everybody isn't deeply anxious about climate change. You can't push it away. What you do is you simply bury it. And that's one thing that a psychiatrist will tell you. There's no pushing away anxiety. It only gets shoved into a crevice, and it becomes a whole part of that dark pool of a feeling that the world is not right. So there is no such thing as pushing it away. It's only burying it along with financial problems and all of the other problems of everyday life that add to this sense of despair and to a feeling that safety is slipping from our fingers. The more powerfully we deny reality, the more likely we embed it deep in our psyche, and it causes us anxiety, and we try to repress it.
Dr. Van Susteren suggests connecting with other people is a powerful, helpful psychological tool.
The sense of kinship that I know we feel is such a source of comfort and an energizing force in my life when I start to feel the inevitable emotions that are not comfortable. Summoning the hope that we are doing everything that we can now, and that on an individual basis, on a collective basis, we are working to do what we can, is that bright light, and that it calls upon us in this generation, therefore, to do everything we can to show that we are taking this with every bit of seriousness as it warrants.
I want to bring in another voice of someone who has been speaking out about health and mental health issues connected with climate change. Dr. Natasha Desjarnet is no stranger to Citizens Climate Radio. She first appeared in episode 6, Health, Climate, and Community. That's our most popular episode to date. Dr. Deschanette is a policy analyst in environmental health at the American Public Health Association. Her areas of expertise are around air quality and climate change. Part of her job is to educate leaders on how they can better protect their communities. Dr. Deschanette was thrilled to hear I chatted with Dr. Van Susteren.
She's the true expert on this. I've had the privilege of hearing her speak on this a few times now. It gets really personal because it is. It affects us. It affects our families in such in a personal way, but it also affects our communities and our states and our nation and the world as a whole.
I asked Dr. Deschanette about climate change and mental health.
In our discussions on prioritizing mental health as it pertains to climate change, what we have at the American Public Health Association have worked to consciously do is switch the focus from mental illness or the terminology of mental illness towards that of mental wellness and well-being in this changing climate.
In a moment, we will talk about how climate advocates like you face psychological impacts from climate change and the work we do. You will hear what you can do to care for yourself. First, though, let's dig into the mental health and wellness issues associated with climate change, especially in regards to extreme weather events. It's been almost 13 years since Hurricane Katrina hit the USA, and we are still learning about how that one storm affects people even today.
Because of the timing and the time since Hurricane Katrina, there's much data and information out there. And so now there's data out there that's saying, you know, what we saw on TV, the images and the things that we said, man, how does one move past seeing and witnessing and experiencing that? Then we're now seeing numbers come in that are saying that after Hurricane Katrina, there's increased anxiety, PTSD, and there are concrete numbers that support this now. For Katrina itself, there have been reports that nearly half of the survivors, about 49% of survivors of Hurricane Katrina, developed an anxiety or mood disorder following the storm. And then also 1 in 6 people from Hurricane Katrina developed post-traumatic stress disorder. Also, reports have shown that suicide or suicidal ideation or suicide attempts more than doubled after Hurricane Katrina as well. And then there's another study of women living in temporary housing that were displaced from Hurricane Katrina. It was found among this group that suicide attempt or completion was increased 78.6 times the regional average at the time.
Research reveals that evacuation is key, not only in saving lives, but in promoting mental wellness.
The data actually shows that the sooner and further you evacuate as a natural disaster approaches, the better your mental health outcomes are, regardless of the destruction.
Of course, not everyone has the means and resources to do so. In addition to big storms like Katrina, Harvey, and Maria, extreme heat events can be deadly for some. Heat waves also increase mental health risks.
Extreme heat causes many problems as it is, as it pertains to heat stroke and other heat-related illness, but it also poses an even heavier burden on those with pre-existing mental health conditions. So Alzheimer's and schizophrenia tend to consistently show increased risk when extreme heat events happen. One study that looked at 6 different case control studies, it was about 1,065 people that ultimately died due to heat-related illness. And it found that specifically pre-existing mental illness tripled the risk of death due to heat wave exposure. And very unfortunately, those that use psychotropic medications, they have a concrete risk factor for heat-related death.
Extreme heat events and big storms are inevitable. But communities are not helpless in facing these threats.
It's really important that we have social ties and connections with our community. That also helps. It's actually one of the most disruptive parts of a natural disaster is that when people relocate, they lose their social ties. But in these times of extreme weather, it is those social connections with the community members that help us to withstand change. And it also encourages adaptation to climate change impacts. Having those social ties can actually help guard against these indirect impacts, because if you're having a diminished sense of self and you're having difficulty connecting with others, the social ties will be able to withstand that. You'll have a neighbor that's going to come and look out for you, and even bonding over unfortunate experiences with someone that truly understands, even that helps.
And what about climate advocates? What are some of the psychological risks and challenges we face? What can we do to protect ourselves and promote our mental wellness?
It certainly is a heavy burden when we are armed with this information that we know that 97% of scientists agree that climate change is happening now. And then there's inaction on one side. And so we know that it's happening. We're seeing the destruction. We're watching the storms play out on TV, or we're living through them. And there's inaction, or people that are saying this isn't real. It's heavy. And it does actually cause people to have anxiety. It even causes a diminished sense of self, and it increases our stress. That is something that's very difficult to overcome. Public health professionals are similar, but we truly have to practice what we preach. We cannot be of help to others if we ourselves don't protect our health in the process.
And we need to stay positive. That is a tall order. Dr. Desjeanette has disciplined herself to be honest about the threats, but also courageous about taking them on.
We can get really weighed down with the doom and gloom, especially as it pertains to climate change. We see the risk. We see the declines in health. We know that this is happening. We know it's happening now. And we know that there's an urgency to mitigate and to adapt to the health impacts of climate change. And so what we practice is more of focusing on framing things more so in the positive, instead of just saying that climate change is the greatest threat to public health. It's also the greatest opportunity to protect public health. Taking action on climate change is the greatest opportunity to protect public health. And framing things in the positive not only helps the practitioner that's delivering this information, it certainly helps the audience that is there to receive this information. The urgency is still there, but really it's a great, great opportunity for the public health community.
We are running a marathon. As climate advocates, we need to find ways to make our life and work sustainable. Perhaps the most important thing I've learned in taking care of myself is that I cannot do it alone. I need you. We need each other. Dr. Van Susteren stresses this aspect of self-care.
What we do as a community is how we create the feeling of resilience. And we know, studies have shown, that when we go from an intense ruminative focus on ourselves that ends up being dead end, focusing just on ourselves, I don't mean our carbon or planetary footprint, but on our own lives, that it's a dead end and it's deadening. And that in contrast, when that part of the brain is quieted down and we start thinking about collective action and what we can do to be a part of something bigger, that it inspires this feeling of awe about possibility, and that this has an immensely healing effect on us. It affects the immune system. You can see in electroencephalograms that we have brain waves, alpha waves, that suggest harmony. And so we have evidence that community-based activity, working together is an immensely helpful opportunity in healing and restoring what is our fundamental challenge, and that is to be good citizens who are the stewards of the environment that we know we need to be.
Many thanks to Dr. Lisa Van Susteren and Dr. Natasha Desjanet for taking the time to sit and chat with us about mental health issues and climate change. If you want to dig deeper into this issue, I have a list of resources and links, including some of Dr. Van Susteren's writings, in the show notes. Just look for episode 23 of Citizens Climate Radio on the blog. Visit citizensclimatelobby.org/blog. Now it is time for the Art House. Today I feature artist Fritz Horstmann. A visual artist, he interacts with nature through his photography. Fritz is also a musician. On a trip to the Arctic Circle north of Norway in June 2016, he and 26 other artists explored a strange and surprisingly active world. Fritz went to take underwater photos. Then he became captivated with the many sounds reverberating in the Arctic. Drawing on some of these sounds, he composed Ice Voices, a soundtrack for the video he created. Fritz Horstmann shares his story for Citizens Climate Radio.
That was sort of my main goal, was to document the differences between glacial meltwater right at the face of a glacier, or as close as I was allowed to get to the glacier, and then as it dissipated, moving away. So looking for the visual differences in color and in clarity between water close to the glacier and water further away, and then simply documenting all this, and then having this range of images to contemplate, to display, and to show. And of course, we're looking at melting glaciers, so I don't need to say very loudly that we're talking about a climate issue if we're talking about melting glaciers. These glaciers are groaning and creaking and crumbling. There's long minutes or hours when nothing at all happens, and then sort of this deep groan as something deep inside moves just a little bit, and then this gigantic crash as something the size of 10 city blocks calves off of the face of this gigantic glacier. And so I was thinking about all these sounds and making recordings of them, but not really sure what I would be doing with that. Later on this same voyage, on the same residency, we sailed as far north as the captain could get us. And so we got up to just north of the 81st parallel, and that got us into the, or right to the edge of the pack ice. As far as you could see, just this undulating field of white. And that field of white was undulating because it's all broken up ice, and some of them are big icebergs and others are just sort of, you know, smaller icebergs. And so there's a lot of collusions between the icebergs and the little smaller pieces of ice, and they make these incredible crickling, like, sorts of sounds, but that in a billion voices constantly just everywhere all around you. So it's not quite deafening, but it's a little bit like insects in the forest in New England in August or something. It's sort of this incredible hum that's coming from everywhere all at once. And I set about recording as many people as were interested and willing, making the sounds of the ice with their voices. And I didn't give them any instruction other than that. So they could make the crickling sounds of the ice pack, or they could make the deep groans of the glacier, or something else if they wanted to. And with a simple audio recorder, just let them make the sounds for as long as they wanted. Some people went on for a minute or two. Others had just a couple seconds in them. I then captured all this, composing this piece that you'll hear called Ice Voices. I use all these different voice parts just as a composer would. Not to say that there are sopranos and altos and tenors and basses. I can sort of group them as the people who went crickle, 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 and the people who went boom, boom, boom. So using those as basically instruments in my composition, I was able to compose roughly a 2-minute long piece that describes the sound of ice using the human voice. In my art, I try not to be too heavy-handed in the environmentalism. It's always there. It's constantly there. That's sort of my worldview is informed by it. But if art is too heavy-handed in environmentalism, it shuts people down. It's not interesting to a good portion of the population, and the population that is interested already knows that. So making it too pedantic in that way isn't helpful and can squash the poetry of the thing.
To see the large range of art Fritz has created, visit his website, fritzhorstmann.com. You will find a link to his site and to his video, Ice Voices, in our show notes. Just go to citizensclimatelobby.org/blog to find episode 23. If you have an idea for the Art House, feel free to contact me, radio@citizensclimate.org. Now it is time for the puzzler question. I'm going to repeat the puzzler I offered to you last month. I received some responses, but I would like to hear from more of you on this important and often asked question. Here goes. On Facebook, you encourage people to engage in climate action and join your group. A friend of yours, let's call her Samantha, comments, "That's very noble of you, but really, the only solution is going to be a technical one. It's gone too far, and they're going to have to geoengineer a solution. Don't stress about it. They're working on a fix somewhere." So what do you say to Samantha, who believes geoengineering will solve all of our climate woes, and we should just live our lives until the patch is available? Get back to me by May 15th, 2018. You can email your answers to radio@citizensclimate.org. That's radio@citizensclimate.org. You can also text me or leave a voicemail of 3 minutes or less at 570-483-8194, plus one if calling outside the USA. I'm going to give you that number again because I love getting the voicemails. That number is 570-483-8194. Thank you for joining me for episode 23 of Citizens Climate Radio. The show is written and produced by me, Peter Santoscano. Other technical support from Ricky Bradley. Social media assistance from Ashley Hunt Monterano, Flannery Winchester, and Steve Balk. Moral support from Madeline Pera. Very special thanks to my guest, Dr. Natasha Dijonet, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, and artist Fritz Horstmann. All of the music we use on the show is licensed unless otherwise specified. Be sure to share Citizens Climate Radio with your friends. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. You can also listen over at northernspiritradio.org. Join the discussion at our Citizens Climate Radio Facebook group page. And you can follow us on Twitter at Citizens C Radio. That's Citizens, the letter C, Radio. And if you go over to iTunes, don't forget to rate and review us. Not only will that increase our listeners, it will make me super happy. Visit citizensclimatelobby.org/blog to see info about our puzzler and find links to our guest. Citizens Climate Radio is a project of Citizens Climate Education.
So let me tell you this. It's really good to interrupt me. I'll tell you why. Because sometimes I get rolling and it's like a runaway train. And if you're telling me to be natural, I can get like a runaway train. So if you want to stop me, please do not hesitate. All right. Well, first of all, you got to confirm with me that I'm not being too honest, because I can segue to the uplifting issues and to what we're doing, the success stories. I can go there. But you have to assure me that I'm not being too brutally honest. Can I get that confirmation from you? And when I ask people, they readily agree that this is something that they do think about. And as a matter of fact, this is why I often say when I give a talk,
that I don't believe for one second that on some level, everybody isn't deeply anxious about climate change. You know, this is almost like a Rorschach. I realize that those sentiments that bother me the most are the ones that I seem to be least able to summon. And that's probably true of all of us.